Nick is pulling up a thing. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we discuss terrorism. We talk about the ways that it's racist and how it's affecting America today.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello, I'm Tim Wick.
And Nick Glover. Yep, that's my life. That's the rest of my life.
Oh,
you just heard.
Jesus, I'm on the other side
of
that, you
that's
asshole.
I chose God. That out
on
of
purpose.
Several options. That was my choice.
Well,
out of several options. Hello. So we are here to talk to you about, it's a pretty heavy episode, I'm not going to lie.
It's heavy.
It's going to be a bit of a downer. We want to talk about terrorism.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
That
and,
was the downer music. That was
there's been a lot going on lately. A couple weeks ago, there were the attacks in Paris. There were attacks in Syria. There were attacks. The girls from Boko Haram were just released, like, yesterday. There's been a lot of terrorism in the news.
There's also, and I think, you know, because of what we're talking about here, we should also mention there was a shooting in a Black Lives Matter protest.
Yes,
in
the fourth precinct. So the Black Lives Matter protesters have been camping out at the fourth precinct to get justice for Jamal, who was shot. What's the best way I can say this?
He was killed
while in police custody. He was shot in the back of the head while in police custody.
Yeah,
that is not in. None of that is in dispute.
those are that's all objectively true.
Yep.
What it sure sounds like is he was executed by the police, but
while in handcuffs.
But
yeah.
That's
yes.
And then there's also been a shooting.
There was
a shooting at
the
Colorado abortion clinic.
Yes. Yeah. So there was a terrorist attack, at the fourth precinct shutdown protest where some men
white supremacists.
I'm going to stay. They are white supremacists, and so far people are saying alleged, which is we'll get into this. Alleged white supremacists, who are white supremacists 100%, stormed in and pretended to be protesters, and then got into a fight with some other BLM protesters. They tried to run the white dudes away because they were getting violent. Shots were fired. Five people were shot. No one was killed.
Which is fortunate.
It is, and then again, as Tim said,
two in custody. Last I heard.
Yep, and as Tim said, there was a terrorist attack on a Colorado Planned Parenthood,
Colorado Springs,
just recently. Yeah. And someone was killed there. At least one, two,
I think
three dead, three. And like six or something wounded. I don't know, but
one of whom, by the way, was a right wing pro life cop.
Whose job was to guard the Planned Parenthood. So he did.
And he did his job.
And
that's...
And what we really wanted to go into are the ways that all of these events, which are all undeniably terrorist acts, because they are acts of violence committed by
Molly,
people...
But Molly, are you sure? Can we really call these acts terrorism?
Why, we can, actually. Because it's terrorism when you are doing a violent act in order to inspire fear and terror in a group of people, not just people who were there. Like,
Wait a minute. Hang on. Are you saying that terrorism is a tactic and not a nationality?
Why, yes, I am saying that, as
that
a matter of fact.
That doesn't make any sense. That's completely... I thought the terrorism was just Muslim.
Yes, I know. It's easy to think that because they want you to think that. And by they, I mean
the media.
Oh, the American media, because that's easiest.
It's almost like terrorism is... when a person uses terror to try to push forward some political idea.
Or when they use terror because what they want is to make a group of people, not just the people who are at the event, scared. You killing your family. Yes, someone might. I've seen some very reductive arguments like, oh, so if I go to my family Thanksgiving and I hold everyone hostage and I shoot everybody, that's an act of terrorism because I'm inspiring fear in them. It's like, no. But if you went to a church with the intent of making everybody who goes to that church, even if they're not there, feel like they're a target, then that's different. It's yeah.
If you're attacking a Planned Parenthood because you think that people should avoid Planned Parenthood and not go and get abortions or any women's mm-hmm. health services, then you, yeah right.
Well, let's be fair. These people literally don't give a fuck about anything but abortions.
No,
they don't give a fuck about women's health services. If you bring it up, the standard tactic when somebody brings that up is to just pretend it wasn't even said and talk about abortions.
Planned Parenthood prevents so many abortions by educating people about safe sex and providing contraceptives.
The pro-life movement does not care. We should say the anti-Planned Parenthood.
The anti-abortion movement is what I like to call them.
I'm thinking it's the anti-Planned Parenthood movement.
That's true.
Because the anti-Planned Parenthood movement is not all of the anti-abortion movement.
No.
It is a group of people who have focused on Planned Parenthood as kind of the devil that drives the abortion machine.
And they've been led to that belief by the media, and especially by right-wing politicians and pundits and anybody who has been sharing that objectively and admitted falsified video that claims that Planned Parenthood was selling baby parts, which is even the guy that made it said it's not true. And it doesn't matter. And this terrorist man who shot and killed three people and, you know, wounded others at the Colorado Springs Clinic was quoted as saying, as the police hauled him away, no more baby parts. Because that is what he was led to believe Planned Parenthood was doing, and he believed it. And I am so frustrated that there's no culpability being thrown to the, except for Bernie Sanders, because God, I love Bernie Sanders. And he said, this is what happens. We need to know that our damaging rhetoric and our words matter.
Yeah.
It could be something in a civil suit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about the situation, and there was somebody commented on, it was, I think, on Eric Knight, friend of the show, Eric Knight's page, and he put up something about calling what he did terrorism.
Yeah.
And there was somebody who came in and said, you know, well, no, it's just one mentally ill man. It's like, you know what? That, and that's the topic we're kind of talking about. Yep. It's like, when a white dude,
or white person in general, but usually it's a dude.
A white person. Yeah.
Come on. It's white dudes.
It's a white guy. Yeah, no, it's true.
When a white dude shoots up a church or a movie theater or a school or an abortion clinic, what we say is they are mentally ill.
Yep.
Right.
When a brown dude does the same thing, we say they're a terrorist. And I think a perfect example of that is looking at how we responded to and use language for the Fort Hood shootings, which was done by a Muslim man,
mm-hmm.
versus how we characterize and how we talk about the shooting that was done, say, at the Batman screening.
Well, Tim, the Fort Hood massacre was carried out on our soldiers, who we all have to admit we must care about. And the Colorado Springs thing was just done to women. So, like, I mean, look.
So, yeah. Yeah, and a police officer.
Anyone who's willing to end human life in this way is...
Actual human life.
Is, now I'm not talking about abortion clinics, I'm talking about shooters, terrorists, loners, whatever the, you know, term is that people are going to use for these people that are doing these acts of violence. I feel like anyone who's doing this is mentally ill.
Sure.
I feel like in order to carry out, let's say, a suicide bombing, I feel like that person is vulnerable. They've been talked or conned into it. They are they are not acting in their best interest. I mean, it's suicide bombing. Suicide is what someone who is unhealthy commits. It's it's there's no
it's certainly there's that.
So I feel like if we're gonna say, oh, poor loner white guy who shot up a movie theater, he never got the help he needed, he was mentally ill and he never got the help, I don't think that there's any reason you can't have that same sympathy and that same verbiage about a brown person committing similar acts of violence.
Or even for a Daesh extremist.
Right.
Like that is a mentally ill person. The problem is because we have such unfortunate respect for people's religion and their right to their beliefs.
Irony.
It is. Because we have
that. As long as they're not Muslim.
No, that's the thing. Even though they're Muslim, we have this weird, the country has this weird thing of like, oh, well, he's not mentally ill. That's what his religion says. That's because of his religion. Sure, and I'm like, you're all mentally ill because you're all like feeling that you need this cognitive dissonance in your life to tell you what to do. But for them, a white Christian, they can't understand how that person can't be mentally ill
because it's a shared delusion.
Because they're a white Christian, so it's not the religion. And so, but for a Muslim, it's weird and it's their religion and they have, oh, did you know the Quran says they're supposed to kill us?
I think one way to look at terrorism and one thing that I think about that may be in a really alarmist perspective, I'm not sure, is I think suicide bombers are victims.
Yes.
Agreed.
They are victims of a system that seeks out vulnerable young men, primarily young men.
Angry.
And how they're vulnerable might be mental, might be physical, and it might be financial.
It might be financial.
Yep.
It's they find vulnerable young men and they convince them that the best thing that they can do for their lives is to kill innocent people and themselves.
Which
terrorism to me is an act perpetrated by the people that send these men out.
Yeah.
So and I mean these men are terrorists too, and you know, to call them a victim, what they do is
you can
still
be a victim and still responsible for what you do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
if you were abused your whole life and that makes you a rapist, that you're still a rapist. Yep.
So this terrorist that shot up the abortion clinic in Colorado, who is unquestionably a terrorist, but there is, in my opinion, terrorism, the terrorist that we don't do anything about because we don't call it terrorism because we don't like using that word unless it's something that we consider evil.
It's the other.
Yeah.
We need to be able to look at the other.
But there was a woman who worked in an abortion clinic. There was a post I read today who talked about everything that they dealt with at her clinic in the years that she worked there. You know, people trying to light fires, people releasing, you know.
That was Molly.
Yeah.
No, there's one others, but I did one too. Yep.
Yeah. And the idea that all of these acts are terrorism because their goal is to scare you into not going to work anymore.
Yep, their goal is to shut you down. And that's so I love this tweet, and I don't know if it originated from Sally Cohn, but it says, Muslim shooter equals entire religion guilty. Black shooter equals entire race guilty. White shooter equals mentally troubled lone wolf.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing. It's, you know, Muslims are terrorists, black people are thugs, white people are mentally disturbed lone wolves who could not possibly be a product of their environment.
For the people involved in the shooting at the 4th Precinct shutdown, Black Lives Matter Minneapolis protest.
Also terrorists, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Shooting at unarmed protesters? Yeah. That's people trying
because
to
because you want them to go home and stop protesting?
Because you want them to shut up.
Yep.
You want to scare them into leaving.
Yep.
So they released pictures of some of the suspects. The four pictures they released are basically like senior picture, like smiley, happy white dude pictures.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whenever they show a picture of a black person who's been involved in, like, the Jamal in the Justice for Jamal. Whenever they show a picture of him, they use a mugshot.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's not even intentional.
Yeah.
I don't think it even occurs to them.
I think for some people it is, but I think for a lot of people their thought is, and this again, this makes me insane, because just because you've never been arrested doesn't mean you've never done anything wrong. No. And just because you've been arrested doesn't mean you have done something wrong. And so to say,
or that you don't deserve another chance.
Or to say, to say, well, he's like, that guy has a mugshot, so why wouldn't they use, they couldn't use the mugshots for the white guys because they'd never been arrested. It's like, right, they'd never been arrested. That doesn't mean shit. It really doesn't. Because, like, you can get booked and have a mugshot just for getting hauled into the police station for whatever they want. Whatever they want, they can take your picture.
Yep. For public drunkenness.
Yep.
Which,
yep.
You know what? Lots of people have been publicly drunk.
And it's... So what makes me the angriest right now is that the media. And I think that a lot of our problems, a lot of this is stemming from the media. I think that the Colorado Springs terrorist is, the media is in a good way to responsible for the being the catalyst that made this guy finally go over the edge. The fact that Donald Trump is not, for some reason, this Colorado Springs shooter terrorist dude has listed it for like voting purposes as female, and I know they're still going into
I don't think
it was some weird thing.
I thought that was debunked.
Was it debunked?
That was something Ted Cruz was saying because he's a fucking idiot.
It was Trump too. I wasn't sure because I had never seen any actual. I'd only seen like the early talk of it. But so that, of course, because it doesn't matter if it's true or not, because now it's out there. And so Trump is saying this is actually a transgendered leftist activist, and people are already skewing the focus away and making this about abortion. And it's not about abortion. It's about fucking terrorism on our soil. And we used to have a conversation about this before 9/11. Like when Timothy McVeigh, you know, did what he did in Oklahoma, when the Waco thing, like all that stuff.
It was called domestic terrorism.
They did call it terrorism. They did. Yeah. And they were labeled as terrorists. The Unabomber was a terrorist. And it was never this, like, there didn't used to be this.
There was never the news. And the news stations with this guy, with this Colorado guy, are like, do we call this terrorism? It's like, why is this a debate? Why is this news? It shouldn't be a question mark.
So do you think most of it is, how much of this do you think is subconscious, like microaggressive racism of individuals, but since they have a bigger platform, like they're newscasters or they are on the internet and therefore they have a place to voice these opinions, how much of this do you think is unconscious racism versus like deliberate and malicious?
I think the majority of the racism in our country is unconscious racism.
I agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that?
I think there's a whole... I think that if you're counting, like, number of...
What about Minnesota?
Number of times where someone... See, I don't know. Reading the comments about the shooting in the 4th Precinct and stuff like
those
that.
Those are people trying to get internet famous by saying something overtly racist,
but
hang, I feel.
Hang on. I used to think that the majority of racism was like either in just people being inconsiderate or people being uninformed or people just not knowing, or even sometimes just the curiosity, say a person who is raised in a small town and literally has never met a person of color before, and then they do.
And they say, can I touch your hair?
Right. Things like that.
Microaggressions.
Yes. I used to think that was the majority of it. And now I think that that might be the majority of instances of where something racist happens. But I think that, like, the majority... I think there's weight to it. There's density to racist acts. And I think that all the microaggressions in the world don't weigh up against the overt, blatant, open racism that is
active. But here's the thing, though. What Molly asks is whether it's conscious or not. And there's the thing. I think most of us, I mean, this is the everybody's a little bit racist argument, but it's true. We yeah. all deal with that. Some of us consciously, but most of us sure. unconsciously.
Honestly, and I when think news, people, of all, media, people of all races do it too.
Okay, yeah, so when the news media shows these white guys and they don't show a mugshot and then they show a black guy and they show a mugshot,
yeah.
nobody in that newsroom is overtly, consciously doing it because of racism.
So, okay, I would say, how about most of the people in that newsroom probably aren't doing it for that reason. Yeah. I don't think you can say no one is.
Well,
people probably aren't.
Yeah.
So when I read the Black Lives Matter comments on the Pioneer Press articles, which is something
really
I have to try not to
do.
Yeah, and they say things like, don't they know they're hurting their own cause and that these people are committing more violence against each other? And I don't think that person who says that sort of thing thinks they're being racist. I think that someone who says something like, don't they realize that they're killing each other as much? What am I supposed to do if they can't even kill each, you know?
Now, what about all the comments that are, sorry, continue your thought.
The comments that are things like, those dumb thugs like deserve everything they get. I should just go out there with my car and run them over. If they're in my way, I'd just kill them. I don't think those people know they're being racist. They're just trying to attack anybody.
So what about the people who say, when there's like a walkout like downtown,
mm-hmm.
like there was when the protesters took the streets downtown Minneapolis, and numerous people online said mm-hmm. something to the equivalent of, thousands of black protesters downtown midday on a Tuesday, not a single hour of work missed.
That's racist. See, that's overtly racist. Because that is, and I don't think anyone would argue that those people are being consciously racist.
And that is like, I feel like that is the majority of what I'm seeing online is overtly racist.
And I think the stuff that's, because I've seen a lot of things, and I mean, the thing about Black Lives Matter is, you know, the number of white people on the internet willing to criticize the Black Lives Matter movement is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I have plenty of friends who post things like, oh, look, here's a video of Black Lives Matter people being verbally abusive to the police. And it's like, okay,
Still doesn't mean you get to get shot to death.
Yeah, that is not good behavior.
I've literally seen white girls throw up on cops and call them faggots before downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
So
right.
They're not the only people who treat police officers bad.
In fact, I would say they have a reason.
They have reason to mistrust police officers
and to yell at them.
And so what? And usually these people are arguing, well, not all police officers are the problem,
right.
Sure.
And then these guys yelling at these police officers is all Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think, so here's what I think. I think that generally, I think if we're looking at people as a whole, like generally, I think that most people's racism is an unconscious and unintentional racism that they are blind to and when pointed out, are still blind to and will refuse to see. That when you say they're killing each other, so why should I care? Like, that's racist. And they go, but they are. And you're like, but it's racist. And they go, but they are. And it's like, never mind.
Donald Trump saying, oh, you know, everybody coming from Mexico are drug dealers and racists.
Exactly.
And drug dealers and rapists, but I'm not racist. I can speak Spanish. It's like, you can speak Spanish, so it's easier for you to deal with your maids and cooks.
But I think that's what's hard,
by the way, was racist.
That's what's hard, though, Nick, because if everyone was saying things like, all these Black Lives Matter protesters and not an hour of work was missed, and you say, that's racist, and their response is, well, no, there's white people down there, too. They just also don't have jobs. And you're like, okay, but you meant it as a racist thing. And they go, whatever. And it's that kind of stuff that's like, it's overt racism that's so subtle that we are having the worst time rooting it out and getting rid of it.
I don't think there's anything subtle about...
Because you're not racist. Because they think I didn't say nigger and I didn't say anything about them being thugs and I didn't say anything about how they should get strung up. I don't know why it's racist.
Well,
it's true. It's true.
And people are saying things about lynchings and all.
Sure, and the people that say that, everyone can go, oh, well, that's racist. Everyone can, that's the easy stuff.
I was having
this is the shit.
I was having this conversation with, you know, the microaggressive racist thing of saying, well, black people don't get ahead because they're lazy. You know, I worked, white people saying, I worked to get where I did. And the failure to understand that, and they use this when talking about black people and women and their
white
difficulty
privilege.
In reach and
immigrants,
you know,
women,
I'm white. I don't have privilege. I worked hard to get
nothing
where
was
I did.
Handed to me, like that's handed to the minorities. Like,
and you go, yeah, you know, but what you don't understand is a black person or a woman that reaches your same level worked harder than you did to get there because you're playing life on the easy setting.
Yep.
You know, you don't as a white person ever. You never, as a white person, when you get pulled over by a cop, think, what do I have to say to not get shot?
Or at least to not go to jail.
To not go to...
In fact, most of the time you're arguing with the cop as to whether or not they have the right to pull you over, even when you were doing something wrong.
And if you're a black person, you probably are thinking that. What do I have to do...
Now that's terrorism.
To not get shot, right?
I genuinely think, and this is... again, this subtle language isn't just limited to race, because in the wake of this recent terrorist attack on the Colorado Springs Clinic, I have had people on my feed who, with the best of intentions, are saying shit like, I don't believe in abortion as a form of birth control. And then going on to say blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
it's not
birth control. That's not, and that makes me crazy, because that was something that really bothered me when I started working at Planned Parenthood, and people would say, well, I'm okay, I'm pro-choice, but I just don't agree with these women who just have like 5 or 6 or 7 abortions in a year. And it's like, you don't get to choose. You either say abortion's okay, and you get to choose when you have one, or I never want anyone to ever have an abortion. There's no fucking middle ground where you can say every woman gets one free abortion a year, but beyond that, you're a whore and don't get to have one. It's abortion or nothing. And it makes me, there was a woman when I was interviewed, the woman who interviewed me said, a woman comes into the clinic and this is her 10th abortion. It's June. This is her 10th abortion this year. What do you do? And what do you
call a doctor? People can't get pregnant that fast.
But it was like, what do you say to her, kind of a thing? And it was like, because, I mean, technically you can actually. You can get pregnant, especially
that
if you go,
soon after,
if you go have sex right after an abortion, yes. You can get pregnant right away again. And then you're 6 weeks and you have another one. And then you go have sex again right away and you get pregnant right away. And then you wait 8 weeks this time and have another one. Yep, you can do that.
You couldn't get 10 in by June.
Maybe not 10. I don't remember.
Hey, it's semantics.
Yes, thank you. But the point is, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how often she has one. Doesn't matter if she's using, quote, abortion as birth control. Doesn't matter if she's not taking home any condoms and not going on the pill and doesn't want to use fucking anything and wants to continue to have unprotected sex and then come in to pay for another abortion because it's fucking legal. And that's her fucking right. And if you don't agree with that, then you don't agree with abortion. You don't agree with pro-choice. And so it's frustrating. These microaggressions aren't just limited to race. That's a microaggression to say that.
Yeah. It's a microaggression to women, yes.
And to say, you know, because it's you're judging a choice. You're saying, I don't believe that your choice is valid, but...
You're saying, I don't agree. You're saying, I don't agree with this certain thing because you're afraid of just saying, you know what? Abortion should be legal. You feel like you have to defend it by going, people who do this are wrong.
Or when people say, I don't like abortion. No one likes abortion. And that's when I'm always like, I fucking love abortion. I love it. I love everything about it. If you've never seen someone in the relief and the happiness that can flood them when they realize that they get a second chance and that maybe they fucked up and they thought, the fact that I know I can get pregnant and go get an abortion if it happens is great. I fucking love abortion. It's ridiculous to say you don't like it. You don't have to, you know what, you don't have to like it, but and say that, and it's someone's choice, but like, yeah.
And that's
more of us should say.
And you know what? That's part of the effective terrorism of the anti-abortion movement.
No one is allowed to say they like it.
They make people afraid of saying, I think abortion is a good thing. They've always got to preface it by saying, you know what, I wish we lived in an abortion, in a world where abortion wasn't necessary, but we don't. You know, and you don't have to say that. I don't wish we lived in a world where abortion wasn't necessary. I'm really happy we live in a world...
It will never be not necessary. Yeah. That's a stupid thing to say.
It's a stupid thing.
That's like
thing
saying,
to wish
I wish
for.
We lived in a world where money wasn't required.
Yeah, I wish we lived in a world where everything was free.
Yeah, it frustrates me, and I wish that more women, I know a lot of women are speaking up and saying, and men too, but saying like why they work at Planned Parenthood, the shit they're having to deal with, the terrorism they're having to deal with on a daily basis. A lot of women are saying, you know, I stand with Planned Parenthood. This is my abortion story. I wish more women would talk about how the day they had an abortion was not the worst day of their life. And that, in fact, it was one of the better days because it was a day that they claimed for themselves. And it's because that's the narrative. The narrative is...
I think that's a really great project idea and something you should consider.
Because the narrative is... Abortion is the worst. The day you have an abortion is the worst day of your life, and you will constantly regret it. The narrative is Muslims are terrorists, and that if you're a Muslim who isn't a terrorist, you have to work three times as hard to prove it and be like such a like.
And you have
example.
To apologize for the Muslims who are terrorists. Christians don't have to apologize for the Christians who are terrorists.
The narrative is blacks are criminals and thugs who deserve the kind of police scrutiny and attention they get, and so they have to work seven times as hard to prove that they are peaceful, kind, upstanding citizens. If they've ever had a parking ticket, suddenly they have a criminal record and deserve to get shot in the head. The narrative is if you get shot by the police, let's talk about what you did wrong. Anyone deserves to get shot in the head by the police.
Like with, this guy who got shot in the back of the head, it was a domestic violence call. He could well be a wife beater. And you know what? Doesn't matter.
You don't get shot.
The police aren't judges, juries, or executioners.
We don't have the death penalty in Minnesota. So it doesn't matter what he did. Yeah. He goes to jail, not dead.
He goes to jail. Yep. Absolutely.
If
he beat his wife or girlfriend, he goes to jail. He deserves to go to jail.
People in their plane. He does. Yeah. And so this narrative.
He doesn't deserve to get shot in the back of the head while he's handcuffed.
So maybe the narrative that we're all being fed and taught and forced to and that we are unconsciously regurgitating is the true terrorism. Because honestly, this is something that we all have to actively fight against. And if we don't actively fight against it, we are contributing. So that's my soapbox. Get off my soapbox.
All right.
Five questions?
Yeah, I'm hosting, but I also have five questions to read.
Okay, great. Should I do the first question?
Yes, let me read this intro here. So this is Andrew Malinar. I don't know. I'm sorry, Andrew. I just want to say that I love the podcast. It's regrettable that I found this podcast before Apropos of Nothing. In fact, this podcast led me to that one, yet I wrote to them first expressing how much I enjoy the show.
Fuck you, man.
I was introduced to you guys through guest appearance of Finn of the Skeprecons and have been a loyal listener ever since. I feel silly that I didn't say any of this when I answered the last set of questions, but yours is one of the podcasts I look forward to the most each week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, question number one, what is a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
There are a couple of movies that I really love and will watch whenever I catch them on. I don't generally watch movies in that manner much anymore, but when I regularly had the TV on all day, I would stop every time I was flipping through channels and saw That Thing You Do.
That Thing You Do.
I know it's not the best movie, but there is something about it that I just love.
I've never seen it.
You know, the thing about movies that you stop and watch every time it's on, most of them aren't the best movies ever.
Of course they're not.
They're just the movies that just...
They're all kind of guilty pleasures.
They get you.
They get you. There's that part that you're like, oh, I love this part and I want to watch until this part happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Question number two, what is the geekiest or most prized possession you have?
It's hard to pick a single geekiest item I have, so I'll go with my most prized. I have a stuffed dog that I was given in 7th grade that I still love.
Aww.
That's awesome. Aww.
Yeah,
that's
stuffed awesome. Animals are awesome. Okay, question number three. What supernatural being do you wish was real?
The supernatural entity that I would most like to exist is the genie from Aladdin.
Yeah!
He's just such a fun, good-hearted character that I think he's the only one who would use his powers responsibly.
Well, I don't know if you could say anything that he does is really responsible. Also, most of the time, it's just whatever's the bidding of his of his master, right? I mean,
yeah, that genie did a lot of coke.
But at the end, at the end of the movie, he's free. He gets to do whatever he wants.
That's true.
He's not.
I didn't see the sequel. Does he inspire acts of terrorism across the land?
Does that mean he gets to grant all his own wishes?
I think so. He can do whatever he wants.
What a boring existence. That'd be really boring, right? To just be. I wish poof. For this. Poof, it's here.
Maybe he has to do sit-ups.
Maybe he could,
to make it happen.
Maybe he could wish for a rock so big that he couldn't move it. I mean, that would be.
He could do that because he has. Whatever. All right, question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
The root of all problems in this world are fanaticism and blind ideology. Pardon me. Blind ideology. If religion were removed, there would be something else to take its place. But knowledge and education can solve a lot of problems.
Yes. And the day religion is gone, man takes up arms, and the Mac versus PC war finally becomes deadly.
Okay, question number five. What's your favorite quote?
If I had to pick one, it would probably be the Groucho Marx line, outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. It's the only quote I've ever liked enough to wear on a shirt. If there are a number of great quotes, but that's one that stuck with me since the first time I heard it. Andrew, that is, so one of my best friends in high school had a shirt that said that. And every time I just, it's one of my favorite quotes too, because the idea of because you can hear Groucho's cadence, yeah. Like outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside a dog, it's too dark to read.
Say the secret white.
When the new, library opened in downtown Minneapolis, they were selling shirts that featured that.
That's fantastic.
All right. And you know that it must have come from Groucho Marx, because a library wouldn't put a quote on a shirt if they hadn't made sure they knew where it was sourced.
Exactly. I'd like to think they checked their sources.
I think it's important.
No, I genuinely think
that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us for this heavy topic. I hope that you guys... found some inspiration. Please let us know if you have any thoughts on terrorism. We want to hear what you think, good or bad. Honestly,
were we wrong?
If you disagree with us on anything, go for it and try to keep your microaggressive racism out of it.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah.
I admitted it. Jesus.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And check us out on our website. Leave comments on Facebook or our website. And we will see you guys soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye. My brand of radical atheism is pretty much just sleeping in on Sunday mornings.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hooray, terrorism.